We're going to kind of carry on with the thought of John the Baptist and Zacharias here and Elizabeth. So we're going to pick it up where we left off this morning in Luke chapter 1. And we left off with the final verse that we read in verse 17. Luke 1:17. He will also go before him. So he, John the Baptist, will go before him, Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Well, that's what we need. That's what we all need to happen inside of us whenever, you know, we come to Christ, is to begin to set those things in order and in place so that we can even accept Him. And we know that the sanctification process is a long process. It's not just a moment. I wish I could be totally sanctified in a moment. It would be really nice if it were that easy, but it just isn't. So we're set apart like, you know, in God's eyes, He sees us as we are going to be. So that part of it happens in an instant. But as far as the rest of it, it's going to take the rest of our life, right? And differs in the amount of time that we have. It differs in the way that God takes us through it. But He's got a plan for us. He had a plan for John the Baptist, and it was to be helping to prepare people for Jesus. And we look at verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." I'm always astounded by the way he put that. Yeah. He sounded like a pretty wise dude, didn't he? He was a lot more eloquent than the way he spoke about his wife. He's just like, "I'm an old man." But she's well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Do we ever struggle to believe? You think? You know? I mean, like, effectively, we can know, you know, God can save anybody. But then sometimes, you know, God may reveal that He's working on a particular person, and we're thinking, "I don't know, I've known that person for a long time." you know, they've never shown any interest before, or it could be we don't even know that person. We just kind of judge by the way they look. Oh, they probably wouldn't want to hear it, you know. Maybe even we may not believe sometimes what God's going to do in us, you know. I'm going to be honest with you, God kind of revealed to me, longer ago than whenever I got saved, that He was going to make me a preacher someday. And I mean, I was like, that must just be a crazy thought I'm having, you know what I'm saying? But like, he kind of was showing me along the way that, because I believe God was real, I just did not surrender my heart to Jesus. And so, but you know, I mean, it did seem like that God had that plan for my life, and I just kind of shrugged it off and moved on with life and whatever I wanted to do. And I thought, man, that just seems like that'd be kind of a drag, you know? Well, it turns out it isn't. It's really an awesome life, you know? And to be able to proclaim God's word and to have such a great church to be a pastor of is just amazing. You know, it really is. And so how could I have known? There's no way that I could have known all you folks would be in my life. There's no way I could have known you know, how our personalities would mix to make the body of Christ here. There's no way. It's so much more complex and awesome than what I could have ever imagined in my wildest dreams. And so I had problems believing, you know? And I think sometimes maybe God just won't even hardly let us speak until we get in the right place. You know what I'm saying? And I think this is a great example. He says, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as the days of his service were completed, And he departed to his own house. Now after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? So her question was of a little different spirit, wasn't it? She was just wondering how this could logically, how could this actually happen? It wasn't a doubtful question. It was just a reasonable question. And, God honors reasonable questions. And so we can see the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. I got a nice, pretty star written beside that in my Bible. That's a really important verse, isn't it? And that's one that we can all claim as a promise from God, that with God, there's nothing that's impossible. Now he saved me. He can save anyone. He saved you. He can save anyone. If he forgave us of our sins, he can forgive the next person too. He can bring to life that which is dead in that way. And in verse 38, Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? The obvious, I guess, implications of this is, when does life begin? That's a popular subject that we unfortunately have to continually have in our culture today. This was a person. There's no doubt. He was a person, an individual in God. And in fact, it spoke of him that he would be filled with the Spirit even from his mother's womb. I think even in his mother's womb, we see this, right? And so as he leapt at the presence of his Lord, you got to remember, this is the Father that is in heaven, the Son that is in Mary, and the Holy Spirit that is in John the Baptist. And so the Holy Spirit also filled Elizabeth. How amazing. The Godhead was together. We see the Trinity of God in that one house right there at that one time. With the Father looking over, he is blessing. We've got the Son and the Holy Spirit right there. And this babe was able to be moved by the Spirit even while in his mother's womb. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So who revealed this to her? Holy Spirit. Who reveals it to people today? The Holy Spirit. Still is the Holy Spirit that reveals to us who Jesus is and when he is present. And I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, there's not all the debate and all of the doubting and things of that nature. Now, There's nothing wrong with having a healthy debate with a person who wants to talk about it. I'm not saying don't debate, but all I'm saying is you can't force a person to understand it and to believe it wholeheartedly. You know, you can show them evidence if they ask for it, especially is a great time to do that. We can read Scripture to them, and absolutely we should. But there's one thing we cannot do. We cannot force them to salvation. Only God can reveal Himself, who His Son is, and when His Son is present. And it's so important that we just allow Him to do that, that we praise Him for doing that. Who did that? Who revealed this to Elizabeth? And you know, whenever you read through the Gospels, you will see over and over and over again, it will say, and filled with the Spirit, the saint, whoever it is, did this. And filled with the Spirit, the saint said this. These significant things that are happening, they're not just people who have lots of great wisdom who are a little better than some other people. These are people that are being controlled by the Spirit. And that's what we need to pray for. So, you know, if you're thinking, well, I don't know how I apply it at a certain time, just remember that God can bless you in the same way that He blessed Elizabeth to just know. This is the gift of discernment, because the Spirit knew that Jesus had just entered the room. How beautiful is that? And then go on in verse 43. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of these things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who is called by his name. So they made signs to his father what he would have called, or what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. I think it's very interesting. He had doubt. He had disbelief. God made him mute. Now he is absolutely 100% submitted and obedient. He's doing what the angel said. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke. And you know what he did? Praised God. The very next words out of his mouth, didn't have any kind of doubt, disbelief, or anything else. They were a praise of God. I think it's very awesome to see the way that God works through His people. And Zacharias was His child. Zacharias had a moment of doubt. We can definitely relate to that. Zacharias was being told of something that seemed absolutely impossible. God showed grace. He still fulfilled. And then he opened his mouth so he could praise the Lord. And then fear came on all who dwelt around him, and all these sayings were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? Good question. And we've got the right man to give the answer. The one who literally spoke to the angel, right? And the hand of the Lord was with him. It's just another way of saying, basically, he was filled with the Spirit, right? The hand of the Lord was with him. The hand of the Lord was the one who was leading him. Now, his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit. There it is again. And prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Past tense. Isn't that interesting? Whenever God decrees it, it's as good as done. God doesn't fail. He never does. And he's not going to. And so we've got the forerunner to Christ who's just now been birthed. We've still got around 6 months to wait for Jesus to come on the scene. He already exists in his mother's womb. But what we see is we're using past tense verbs in this proclamation and in this prophecy. He has raised, past tense, up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So now, Zacharias isn't saying anything about his son yet, is he? Everything is about Jesus. As you know, everything's still about Jesus. You know, whenever we're thinking it's about us, we got it all wrong. It's really about Jesus. You know, whenever something good or bad happens in our life and we think, well, God must really be pleased with me, and then something bad happens and we go, well, God must really be mad about me. He must be really mad at me right now. And then something good happens. Well, he must be pretty pleased with me. Who are we really making it about? Me. But like whenever we realize that God's got a plan and he's using us as part of the plan, who does it become about? Less about me and more about him. And so this great thing has just happened to Zacharias. He has a new son after many years of waiting. And who's he talking about? Jesus. How beautiful is that? How awesome is that? This is right. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's why he was able to speak these wonderful praises to God. And he goes on, he says, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, we have been, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. God never breaks promise. God never breaks an agreement. Back whenever he made the covenant with Abraham, I don't know if y'all remember this or not, but he had made a promise and made covenant with Abraham, and he had him cut these. It was really obscure part of the Bible. It's way back in chapter 15 of Genesis. And he cut these animals. He had Abraham cut these animals in half and lay them on two sides of a ditch. Except for the birds. He didn't cut the birds totally in half. He just split them open. But basically he had these things on both sides of the ditch. And I mean, it don't like go into the gory details, and I don't want to make it sound gory, but really what that was is that was a covenant sealed in blood. And so God said, look, I'm making you this promise. I'm going to make you more numerous than the stars of the sky, you know, and like whenever people bless you, they're going to be blessed. Whenever they curse you, they're going to be cursed. He's making this deal with Abraham. He's telling him he's going to be like a people, like forever. And Abraham didn't even have an offspring yet. And then he says, go cut these animals in half and basically prepare the ground for this covenant to be sealed. And the way that this thing would work is the blood would be running into the ditch, and then both people who were going to seal the covenant, seal the deal, would walk through the blood. And what they were saying is, I'm giving you my word, I'm making my promise to you that I will fulfill my part of this agreement, and if I don't, then let me be dead. Let that be my blood. Let me die for the breaking that covenant. Okay, so they did that. They put the animals there. Abraham did. And then Abraham got terrified. And I don't know if you guys remember the story or not, but he actually like fell into a weird sleep. Have you ever just been so scared that you felt like sleeping? Okay, that's what happened to him. He was so scared that he was just like, it just wore him out. Because he knew that he had no business trying to seal a covenant with Almighty God. But while he was in that state, God came and walked through the blood. And what God was saying is, this covenant is good, and I'm willing to give my life to keep it. He remembered his covenant. Why did he send Christ? To shed his blood. He was the only one who could. And so we find that right here, he says to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. Go all the way back to Abraham, right? And to remember his holy covenant. He remembered. And that covenant between us and God, you know, that original covenant gets broken because of our sin. But God shed his blood to pay for it. And that's exactly what was going down here. And he's proclaiming the gospel. Even before Jesus comes onto the scene, even before he's born in this. Of course, we know Jesus is from eternity past. You know, he's part of the Godhead, so he's always been. But I'm talking like he's going to come to earth. He's going to be born as an infant. How incredible. And it's all because of remembering his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Right there it is. It's the covenant, and it goes all the way back to that. He is going to be the one to pay for it, for us. Verse 73, to grant us that we, notice, it wasn't about him, not about just one person in this thing. It's about God and his people. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, and I love this part, I got this underlined, might serve him without fear. Okay? Now there's a healthy respect and understanding of the fear of the Lord. But with this, what it's talking about is, guys, you just need to do what God says in a right relationship with him. We need to know that's all we need. And then we can do anything he calls us to, and we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of the enemy coming after us because God's got it. We don't have to be afraid of COVID-19 killing us because God's got it. I know, maybe I shouldn't bring it up but it is, it's very significant. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not thoughtful and even cautious and that we don't try to take the right course. But guys, we don't have to live in fear. God calls us to go and serve. We can do it. I remember the first overseas mission trip I went on. I admit, I was a little scared. I've never been out of the country before. I didn't even have a passport whenever I was invited on this thing. And I'm like... And so then I knew I was going with the guy who had been run out of a country because of persecution. So that one's already giving me a little bit of alarm. And we have to go to this particular country because if they find him anywhere else, they'll kill him. And I'm thinking, okay. All right. So then I'm already a little bit scared, but, you know, I'm being reassured that it's not too violent in Sri Lanka. They only kill pastors there, and I wasn't one yet. I was here, but I wasn't planning on telling them that. But I wasn't there. But anyway, and so I'm a little bit concerned. And then he calls me up right before we're getting ready to leave, and he goes, we're going to be spending a couple days in Dubai. And there's some bad stuff that's going on. I'm going to be checking it out. But don't worry, I'm not going to take you out where the bad stuff's happening. You know, you're going to be able to just carry the money and all that stuff and the Christian materials. And I'll just let you, you know, go somewhere else while I go out and see this bad. And I'm thinking, yeah, don't worry. Okay. I'm a little bit scared right now. But anyway, so I'm just going to be honest with you. Another person that might not even frighten him at all. But it was scaring me a little bit. Because I'd never gone through something like this. And, you know, I make a lot of mistakes. I don't cross all my T's and dot my I's like I should all the time. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get over there and I'm going to do something stupid, you know. And I'm going to get myself in trouble. But then I thought about this. being delivered from the hand of my enemies, our enemies, that I might serve him without fear. Guys, here's the deal. If we die, what's going to happen next? It's the worst they can do to us. The worst they can do to us is add a little pain to it, but yeah, kill us. And then we're going to be in glory forever. It's a win-win situation. It's just like Paul said, you know, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. We can serve him without fear. I know I could just read over that and keep reading because he says it well enough. But to me, I really want to emphasize that. Not that I do stupid things. I just try to do the things God calls me to do. And I don't have to be fearful. As long as I'm in the center of God's will, I'm not leaving this place one second before it's my time. You see, now as long as I stay in the center of God's will. Now if I get off disobeying God, it begins to change the dynamics a little bit more. Okay? So the safest thing I can do for me and the safest thing I can do for my family and the safest thing I can do for everybody around me is to obey God. I can do that without fear. Now, that don't mean that fear won't creep in, but you know what? Remember who it is you're serving. He says, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. We just read what Zechariah said there for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses, and he's talked all about Jesus and nothing about his son yet. But he's just about ready to talk about his son. So now he looks at his son in verse 76, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Past tense again. Isn't it interesting? To give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way. So the child grew, became strong in the spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Notice I didn't talk much about Mary because we're going to at a future date. I just read through that part. Because it's very pertinent to this part. But what I really wanted us to focus on was the life of Zacharias, the life of his wife, Elizabeth, how God used these faithful two to bring forth this son that is part of his plan. We are all part of his plan in some way. But he had a very significant part to play, and how Zacharias had much to say about it. But almost none of it was about him. It was all about Jesus. And it was all about how thankful and how grateful he was for this son who would serve and prepare the way for Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that's the greatest thing we could ever hope for our children. Right there. You guys have any thoughts? Yes. Stand out when we go other places, us Americans.